As patriots, it's our duty to rise up in a world full of darkness. Evil comes in many forms, and it lurks around unexpected corners. It's time to stop wondering what will happen if it comes to war. War is already here. It's time to rise. Rise up for truth. Rise up for freedom. Rise up for our rights as American citizens. And now, at the head of the militia, here's your host, Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host and your fearless leader, Mickey Garris, and it's good to be with you on July 3rd, the day before we celebrate our nation's independence. Now, we do something special here. We always make sure that we understand, that we remember what we are really celebrating. What is this holiday? What is July 4th? What is Independence Day, and what does it really mean? And I think this year, for some of us, it resonates a little bit more. I think this year we realize just how precious our liberty and our freedom is, just how precious our independence truly is. You see, with COVID and all the restrictions that have been placed on us, the mandates, some of us feel that it's like having the heel of a tyrannical government standing on our chest. We've lost so much rights this last year. We've willingly given up so many rights this last year. And I think some of us are waking up and realizing that what's happened is wrong, and why our freedom and our liberty and our independence is truly so important. And I think we're more thankful now to our founding fathers and to all the brave men and women that died, that fought, that bled for this country to give us this republic, to make sure that we have our independence, to make sure that we have our freedom and that we have our liberty. And I'm telling you now, my friends, more than ever, we have to be willing to fight for it. If you haven't learned anything over this last year, when are you going to wake up? We have to be willing to fight for it. We have to be willing to take it back. It's not theirs to take. Our rights, our freedom, our liberty, it's not theirs. It's not the government's. It's not Kate Brown's. It's not the Biden administration. It's not Dr. Fauci's. It's ours. But it won't be ours if we give it up, if we don't fight for it. In Congress, July 4th, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and assume among the powers of earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitled them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of the government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and their happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer, while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms of which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object, evidences, and designed to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries, usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to the candid world. He has refused his assent to laws, the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance, unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be attained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people, unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, the right of inestimable to them and formidable tyrants only. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing many firmness his invasions on the rights of the people. He has refused for a long time after such dissolutions to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers incapable of annihilation have returned to the people at large for their exercise. The state remaining in the meantime exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without and convulsions within. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states for that purpose, obstructing the laws of naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations hither, and raising the conditions of new appropriations of land. He has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. He has made judges dependent on his will alone, and the tenure of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass people and eat their substance. He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of legislatures. He has affected to render the military independent of and superior to civil power. He has combined with others to subject us to jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and acknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation, for quartering large bodies of armed troops among us, for protecting them by mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states, for cutting our trade off with all parts of the world, for imposing taxes on us without our consent, for depriving us in many cases of the benefits of trial by jury, for transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses, for abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule into these colonies. For taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our governments. for suspending our own legislatures, for declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coast, burnt our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He is at this time transporting large armies with foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, dissolution, and tyranny. Already began with circumstances of cruelty, perfidy, scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages, and totally unworthy the head of a civilized nation. He has constrained our fellow citizens, taken captive on the high seas to bear arms against their country, to become executioners of their friends and brethren, or to fall themselves by their hands. He has excited domestic insurrections amongst us and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless Indian savages, whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of the free people. Nor have we been wanting in attentions to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of the attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our immigration and our settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They, too, have been deaf to the voice of justice and cognoscuity. We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them, as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace, friends. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name and by authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. The Declaration, my friends, of Independence. They mutually pledge to each other their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. That says it all right there. The things that they were willing to give up, the things that they sacrificed, the lives that they lost, the blood that they shed to give us freedom. Don't turn that dial, friends. We'll be right back with more on Independence Day right here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. It is July 3rd, the day before Independence Day, and we were just talking about what does that really mean? I just read the Declaration of Independence. I started that tradition, and I read it every show before the 4th of July. And it's long, and it's not the most exciting read, but yet it is the most exciting thing you can read because it says it all, doesn't it? It says it all. It's why we exist. It's why we are who we are. To have our founding fathers be so bold, so brave, so willing to die for us. That piece of paper, it's so much more than the words that are on it. Think all the way back to the 18th century. Our American Revolution. Think back to July 2nd of 1776 when the Continental Congress voted in favor of our independence. 2 days after that, just 2 days, our delegates from 13 different colonies, 13 very different colonies, my friends, adopted the Declaration of Independence. They came together. They came together in unity and they adopted this document, the Declaration of Independence, a document that they knew was going to declare them treasonous against the king and put a bounty on their head. A document that they knew they would surely be killed because they had a hand in it. Drafted by Thomas Jefferson. And look what has happened. From July 2nd, 1776, all the way to the present day, all the way to today. Tomorrow, July 4th, it's been celebrated as the birth of American independence. We have parties, festivities, fireworks, parades, concerts. Our families get together. We have barbecues. And this year, it's going to be special. This year, we're going to remember not to take things for granted. This year, we're going to appreciate our liberty and our freedom, and we're going to think about our founding fathers and what they did for us, and we're going to think about this Declaration of Independence and everything that it truly means and how it still resonates today and how we need to be willing to fight for it, how we need to have courage like our founding fathers did. Because it's being attacked. This republic is being attacked. You and I both know it. And the path that we're going down, my friends, how many more Independence Days are we going to be able to celebrate? You see, it's not just our history. That document, the Declaration of Independence, it gave us instructions, didn't it? It told us what we need to do. It warned us. It told us that we had a duty. They were so wise. They also said they knew that we would be more inclined to just sit by and even though things weren't right and things were going bad and our rights were being violated and our liberties and freedoms were being taken away, they said that we'd be more inclined to just sit there and let it happen. But they told us that we shouldn't. They told us that there would be a time when we have to fight against the tyranny. There would be a time that we'd have to overthrow our governments. That we'd have to establish new governments. They knew that what they were doing was just the beginning. the Declaration of Independence, it's like an instruction manual for the things that are going to come. And we've witnessed so much of that already. Now we, patriots, we have to have the courage. We have to have courage like our founders did. We have to be willing to fight for our rights, fight for our liberty, fight for our freedom, and fight for this republic, for the future of our children. Not because it's going to be easy. Because it's the right thing to do. Oftentimes the right thing to do is also the hardest thing that we can do. And I've talked before about how in this country, Americans have it so comfortable that we don't like to rock the boat. Even when we have it bad, we still have it pretty good when you look across the border, don't we? That's why so many people want to come here. That's why everybody would love to be Americans. But I'm telling you, my friends, we can lose it in a heartbeat. I think you guys are waking up. I think you understand that now. I think you see the tyranny in our government. I think you see the dangers of Dictator Brown and the things that she's been trying to do this last year. I think you see that Oregon has a lot of issues with the Democrats in charge, with them being the supermajority, the policies that they're implementing. I think you guys understand that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris being in the White House is destructive to this nation. It's actually obvious that they want to be destructive to this nation. They're trying to destroy the republic. We can't let them get away with it, my friends. We can't let them get away with it. Stick with me. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. We were just talking about our independence. We were talking about the wisdom that our founding fathers had and the foresight that they had. It was almost like they could look into the future and they understood the issues we would be dealing with today. They were brilliant men and they sacrificed so much. And then in giving us our Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence, they laid the groundwork. They gave us a roadmap of how do we protect our freedom and liberty? How do we keep our rights? How do we defend ourselves against tyranny? And they told us that we had a responsibility. They told us that we had a duty to do just that. It's pretty amazing how they knew the things that they knew all the way back then. And we do have a responsibility. We do have a duty. We should do whatever we can to help defend and protect this republic, our Constitution, defend our freedom and liberty. We all should be more engaged. I'll tell you right now, friends, a little bit of news for you. If you haven't been reading the papers or gone online yet, I did throw my name in the hat for the vacancy of the House District 23 seat. I think I'd do a good job for the state of Oregon. I think I'd do a good job for the people in House District 23. You know I'm going to stand for your rights. You know I'm going to fight for your freedom. You know I'm not going to back down to the Democrats. I'll be bold. I'll be aggressive. And I think if we work together, my friends, I think if we work together and if we all get involved, I think we can take this state back. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to happen overnight. But I really do think that with the right kind of leadership and everybody's support and involvement, I think we can send a message that's strong to Salem. And I think in time we can take this state back and we can start to turn Oregon red. I really do believe that. And so I'm asking for your thoughts and prayers as I continue going through the process of this appointment. The commissioners of these counties have five people that they got to pick from, and they're going to be doing that on Tuesday. And I think that we just need to pray for them. I think that we need to pray that God gives them the strength and the courage and the wisdom necessary to make the right selection for the state of Oregon and for House District 23. They've got a difficult task. They're doing something that has never been done in the state of Oregon before. There's never been a representative that was expelled from his seat. So it's kind of new ground. And Mike Nierman has a lot of allies and a lot of people that are very, very upset that he's gone. And I understand that 100%. And so the commissioners are going to get a lot of grief from people that don't think that Mike Nierman should have ever been expelled. And so they don't agree with the fact that the commissioners are selecting somebody new. So we just need to pray for the entire situation and pray for people to have peace and understanding and know that we can't continue living in the past. We need to move forward. What's done is done, whether we like it or not. And now we need to heal and we need to move forward. And just pray for the commissioners to make the right decision. They've got a big decision. And of course, I would love them to select me. I think I can do amazing things for the state of Oregon. I think I'd be a strong leader and representative and a good servant to the people in House District 23. I would stand up to the Democrats. I'd fight the good fight. You guys know I would. But you know what? If it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be. And if God doesn't feel that I'm the right person, that's fine. We just need to pray that he helps the commissioners make the selection. So whomever they choose, it's the right person for that seat and for the state of Oregon. Like I said, they've got a tough pick ahead of them, and they're going to get a lot of grief. So, but the most important thing is for us to move on and get back to business. Get back to business with strong leadership. That's exactly what we need to do. Salem's hurting. There's not a lot of strong leadership in Salem. We have a handful of good senators and a handful of good representatives, but just a small handful. So they need more people. They need more people in there on their side that are going to help them have the courage to fight the battles that we have in the future. And there's battles coming, my friends. You and I both know that the Democrats being the supermajority and Kate Brown being the governor and the Biden administration being in the White House, we know that there's battles coming, and we are going to have to defend everything that we have. We're going to have to defend and protect our liberty and our freedom and our rights. So we absolutely need to start putting strong people in Salem that are willing to stand up and fight those fights for us, shoulder to shoulder, lead the charge. I'll do that for you guys, my friends. So let's pray that this process goes smooth and quickly, and we get Oregon back on track. Did you guys see, kind of changing the subject here, did you guys see the train wreck that is Kamala Harris? Is she not the worst vice president we've ever had as a nation? I mean, we've had some doozies, right? We've had some pretty inept vice presidents. We've had several vice presidents that we knew darn well that they were never cut out or capable of being the commander in chief. But when you listen to Kamala Harris talk, I just think to myself, I don't think the nation has ever seen anybody at all as inept and as vile and nasty as she is, she has got to be the worst vice president this nation has ever had. You know, it's par for the course because there's a good chance that Biden is the worst president that this nation will ever have. He's awful. But he's still not as awful as Kamala Harris. And why I'm saying this is because there's a good chance, my friends, Biden's on his way out. He's not right in the head. We know that. And she's next in line. She's next in line. Did you see the last couple of interviews she's done? She's as dumb as a post. She can't answer a question. She deflects. She laughs like a crazy banshee. She gets angry. She gets snippy. And it's because she's incompetent. She doesn't know what the hell she's doing. She doesn't know what the hell's going on. She doesn't know up from down. She can't talk about the border crisis. She doesn't know anything about the border crisis. She went to the wrong spot. She finally flew down there because Donald Trump guilted her into it. Donald Trump was making him look terrible because he's down there being a leader. He's down there acting presidential. He's down there meeting with the governors and the Border Patrol agents and looking at the wall and talking about the real issues that they're having down there. And he's doing what he can as a private citizen to keep attention on the issue and push people to do the right thing. So she was forced to go down there because of him. And then she goes to the wrong spot. She doesn't even go to any spot that has a border crisis. She goes to El Paso or something like that where there's nothing going on. There's nobody there. She's just, ugh. It just blows my mind that, how did this happen, you guys? It's just not right. In the meantime, you got President Trump down there. And I just think, my God, he is the president. Look at him go. He looks great. He sounds great. He's on fire. He started his rallies back up. He's drawing record numbers. God, the Democrats got to be terrified because it's his. You know, because there's more people that are wise. There's a lot of people, and they'll maybe never admit it. They'll maybe never admit it. But you and I both know, my friends, that there is a lot of people out there that did not support Trump the first time. Maybe they didn't support Trump the second time. But after the dose of Biden, after the crap that the Democrats have pulled, that this administration has done to this country just in the last 6 months, you know darn well there are people that were never Trump supporters that would love to have President Trump back in the White House. They maybe will never admit it to their friends, but they would vote for President Trump. His rally that he did this week, record numbers. He's not the president of the United States. He shows up for a rally. People are waiting in line for days. Nobody can make people do that but Donald Trump. Nobody can inspire and ignite the crowds like Donald Trump. People are yearning for him to come back. They are yearning for his leadership. He's going to come back stronger, bigger, and better than he ever was, and more popular than you have ever seen any United States president. And he will get more votes than any United States president ever has. Now, I believe he did the last election, too. I believe with all the voter fraud, we never will truly know the results of that. But there is change happening. Mark my words. And this election is his if he chooses to take it. Don't turn that dial, friends. We'll be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
Back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. We are nearing the end. It always goes by so fast. I know. I keep telling you guys that I'm going to make it longer one of these days. And I probably should, because it truly does go by so fast. About the time you get into it, it's coming to an end. I apologize for that. We've been talking about a lot of things today. We've been talking about the fact that it's the 4th of July tomorrow. And I hope you guys all have a safe holiday. Thank God it's a lot cooler now than it was last weekend, right? It was just an oven last week, and I have never in my life seen temperatures like that. It was absolutely insane. It was miserable, record-breaking, and obviously we know that we have to be extremely careful with fireworks. If you guys are planning on doing fireworks, be smart. Have your hose, have your bucket of water there ready to go. Do it on concrete. Make sure that they're not going to fly over to any grass. Things are such a tinderbox out there. It's not going to take a lot to ignite the entire state again. And we got to avoid that. So please don't be stupid. Don't be foolish. If you can just hold off, that might be the safer thing to do. I hate to be the one to say no fireworks. I love fireworks. I'm not going to lie. I used to go up to Washington and bring back those mortars. And that was my thing. You know, we always launched huge mortars and had a good time. But it's just different right now. Things are super dry. So be safe. If you're going to launch fireworks, just make sure you do it responsibly. But enjoy each other and enjoy your freedom and your liberty and our independence. And don't forget, I gave you the lesson at the beginning of the show. I told you why. I read the Declaration of Independence. Don't forget what it means. Don't forget what they sacrificed. And be willing and able to fight and defend it again if we need to. Because the writing is on the wall. We were just talking about the train wreck that is Kamala Harris and how nasty she is and how she's got to be the worst vice president this country has ever had. And that's putting her in line with some pretty bad people. I mean, Al Gore. Yeah, so, but we know that it's coming, because we know that Biden's not healthy. And I was talking about Donald Trump and how I firmly believe that people that never supported Trump before would love to have Trump back in the White House right now. I think in this next election, if he chooses to run, if he wants to be our candidate for the president of the United States, I think he's got it in a landslide. And I like Governor Rick from Florida. I think he's an amazing governor, and I think he would be an amazing president. But I really, really, really am praying that it's Donald Trump. And I'm praying that Donald Trump will pick him up as the vice president, and we get 4 more years of Trump, and then we get 8 years of Rick. And I think that would just be a sweet ticket that would be dynamite for the Republic and for upholding our traditional American values and our Constitution. And I really hope that that the governor in Florida just lets Trump have it if Trump decides he wants it. Now, it could be that, you know, and when it's time to make that announcement, when it's time to start campaigning, it could be Trump says, hey, you know what, I'm not going to do it again. I don't think he will. He's out there doing the rallies and touring the border, and you know, he's looks like he's gearing up for a campaign. I don't think he'd back out. I don't see a reason why. I do think he'd win in a landslide, and he looks like he's cognizant enough and physically healthy enough to be able to do the job. But he could say, hey, I don't want to do it. And if he doesn't do it, if he decides he doesn't want to do it, I'm in 100% for Governor Rick. 100%. I think he'd do a great job. But I would love to see Donald Trump one more time in that White House, because I think he's got a lot of unfinished work to do. And I think we're going to see a different guy when he comes back. He's wiser, and he's going to be tougher, and he's going to be more bold. And I think he's going to clean house, and he's not going to put up with the crap that he put up with this last go around. Now, I know there's the whole election fraud thing and this and that, but I do think that will be better. I think more people are watching that And we've had some states that have passed new laws that help protect the integrity of our elections, like Georgia. And Arizona is working on some stuff. So I think things are going to be better, and we're going to have a more fair election just because of the fact that the nation's eyes are on the process now. And I don't think the Republicans are going to let stuff slide. And if the same type of crap starts to happen like what happened in this last election, I think there would be hell to pay. I don't think the American people will put up with it. I think, I'm just mark my words, my friends. Democrats, if you got anything up your sleeves, if you're planning anything, this is a ticking time bomb, and I would not mess with the American people on this. I think you just better stand down, my friends. Stand down, back off, make sure you're not doing anything shady, because we're about ready to open up a can of whoop-ass on you, is what I'm trying to say. We're not letting you get away with it this time. Okay? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. That's where we're at right now. You're not fooling me twice. Okay? You leave our elections alone. You stop cheating, you dirty bastards. Stop cheating. Okay? Yeah, the American people, we're woken up right now. We're not putting up with it anymore. So, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. We got the option, the possibility that we're going to be able to take back the House. And a lot of exciting things could happen if that's the case. Number one, it will pretty much make the Biden administration so they're powerless. There's not a whole lot they can do if we control the House and the Senate. And then who knows what could happen there? There's speculation that if we take back the House, they could even appoint Donald Trump as the House Speaker, which, could you believe that? I mean, that would be pretty impressive. How quickly do you think articles of impeachment would come up against Biden and Harris if Donald Trump was the Speaker of the House? He'd be an amazing Speaker of the House. It'd be unusual, but it's absolutely constitutional. It's something that could happen. And I think there's a lot of people that would go for it. I think the Republicans would do it if Trump wanted them to do it. So I'm not saying that that's what he wants. I don't know what he wants, but I know that that's another rumor that's been circulating, and it's definitely something that is possible. And it'd be pretty neat, wouldn't it? To see Donald Trump as the Speaker of the House filing articles of impeachment against Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, because we know the dirt's on them. We know in the trial that the stuff is going to come out. We know they are guilty of sin. Unlike the crap that they tried to charge Donald Trump with that never amounted to anything. Just like that stupid DA in New York, remember, for the last 2 years, he's investigating Donald Trump. For the last 2 years, the CNN and all the leftist media have been saying Trump's going to be in an orange jumpsuit behind bars when this guy gets done with him. And they've been talking about Trump as like he's the biggest criminal that ever walked the streets, and this guy's going to indict him and put all these different felony charges on him, and there's no way Trump's getting out of it, and he's going to be extradited. And, you know, that's been the headline. That's been the story for months and months and months. Over a year, they've been talking about this prosecutor, this New York district attorney that is coming after Trump and got all this stuff. Well, guess what? We know what he has now. He has nothing on Trump. He's got some minor tax stuff on one of Trump's businesses. And the CEO that was in charge of filing those taxes is going to get in a little bit of trouble. But that wasn't Donald Trump. Donald Trump hired experts to handle this stuff. Lawyers and accountants. That wasn't him. He didn't intentionally file anything wrong. And that's it. That's all they got. There's no orange jumpsuit for Donald Trump. He's not going to prison. He's not getting indicted for anything. He didn't break any laws himself. It's just an absolute joke. It's always been a witch hunt. We've known that. Well, things are going to be different when he comes back. Mark my words. God bless you guys. Have a good 4th of July. Stay safe, stay vigilant. We'll catch you next week right here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
You've been listening to Patriot Uprising Radio right here on KSLM and KSLM.news.